Network.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency.
Good evening. You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show. I am Scotty Reed. I'm the station manager for Black Talk Radio Network. Brother Dave has some business he had to take care of that is delaying his ability to start the radio program off. So that's what I'm here for. I'm here to fill in when things like that happen. Today is Wednesday. It is October the 12th, 2016, and that means Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis. So Brother Davis should be joining us here in just a bit, and Dave will be joining his program about 30 minutes, so I would say about 6:30. Just had some things going on that held him up, and so he let me know, and I will fill in for him until he's able to call in, or we will also just go into Brother Davis, or go to Brother Davis of Team Davis, so that he can conduct Wise Wednesday. So welcome to Black Talk Radio Network again. This is Tando Radio Show. Scotty Reed sitting in for Dave behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. So this first half hour or so, let's go ahead and just have an open forum today on Tando Radio Show. Is there anything that's on your mind? Any observations that you're seeing out there, any news to share? And of course, I'm going to go to btrcommunity.com and share some of the news that some of the members have posted there for us today. Lots of interesting things going on globally. Right now, a lot of people caught up into what's happening here domestically behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. And they may not really be paying attention to what's going on overseas. I know the mainstream media has kept putting Syria on in everyone's face. I'm just laughing at these people on CNN and other outlets that are quoting the Obama administration and quoting U.S. intelligence agencies like they can be trusted, like they don't lie. And them saying that the Russian have sponsored hackers or hackers working for the Russian government is trying to interfere with the United States elections 2016, and been floating this narrative, and it came from the Clinton campaign as well, that Donald Trump is aligned himself with Vladimir Putin. I mean, it's just red baiting going. I mean, you would have to go back, what, let's see, it's 2015 now, so we probably had to go back 60 years, especially during the McCarthy years, the Red Scare, and all of that. I'm like, that's just shameless red baiting, and shame on these outlets that so misinform the people. And I'm looking at these reports and seeing these reports. The first report I saw was by David Meir, however you pronounce his name, of ABC World News Tonight. And the segment was only like 30 seconds. And all he basically said was U.S. intelligence agencies believe the Russians are hacking the U.S. election. Something to that effect. Just 30 seconds, a 30-second soundbite, provided no proof, no fact-checking. The U.S. intelligence agencies aren't providing any proof. They're just saying, we believe. Well, you also believe Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons, was working on weapons of mass destruction. You also believe a whole lot of other things that turned out to be lies. And anybody that's falling for that, please, please, please start consuming other sources of information. I mean, there are a number of alternative media outlets. Number of them come to my mind, and of course this network and all the individual programming. And no, everybody don't have the same viewpoint. Everybody doesn't think that we should be working in different areas of people activity, and they're entitled to their opinions. But what I'm saying, that you can still find information somewhere on this network on all areas of people activity. And if you're just consuming CNN, MSNBC, ABC, any corporate media, then shame on you. Shame on you, you know, that you haven't recognized the fact that how many times do we have to see these lies coming out of mainstream media. Now, I hear a lot of people, depending upon what side of the aisle you're on, talking about Bush administration and Cheney and them lied us into the war. But I mean, was there any fact checking by CNN, Wolf Blitzer? Anybody, they didn't do any fact checking. The New York Times just published stuff, ran with it. And so people need to wake up to the fact that Malcolm X pointed out, if you want to control the masses, then you got to control the media. And 90% of the media is controlled by just six corporations, and these corporations work hand in hand with the main corporation, the most powerful corporation on the planet, and that's USA Incorporated, USA Inc. That's incorporated up there in that place they call Washington, the District of Columbia. And so that's why we see corporations getting bailed out with tax dollars and nobody prosecuted, and they just pay fines for whatever criminal deeds that they're doing. That's how that works. It's corporations looking out for other corporations. So you can't, with the entanglements of all of these corporations, also with politicians, that cannot be your main source of information. You cannot take, is it a source? Yes, it's a source, because you can glean information and know what they're trying to push on the people, and then dissect it, and then come back and provide the people with the real information or interpretation of what they just saw and how they're being lied to or manipulated through the media. So that's just really shameful. But again, you're tuned in to Tando Radio Show. I'm sitting in for Brother Dave until he can join us. It is Wise Wednesday.
I'm here, Big Scotty.
Okay, so here's Brother Dave with no further delay. Welcome to your program, Brother Dave.
No, this is our program. We got Brother Davis in queue. Thank you so much, Brother Davis. Welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And Scotty has already started the show, so we're going to move right into it. Let's check out what was in the news. I really wasn't able to post too much today. Got behind on just some things, so I think I was able to. Let me check out what's in the news, and then we're going to get right into today's Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis, who was in queue waiting for. So here we are. I posted a couple of things. In 1 second, as soon as everything comes up, we will definitely get into what's in the news part of it. Okay.
Brother Dave.
Can you hear me?
Scotty? Yeah. Yeah, I was about to send an email. I couldn't get it out in time, but I need to let you know and Max and them know, because there's so much programming on Wednesday nights, and now we've incorporated, our new audience over at YouTube. I have to end the programs 10 minutes before the hour, because the start of the next one, so I can reload everything for that YouTube stream. Appreciate it.
Okay, I sure will. So we'll end out a little early. On the shows. Okay, here's what's in the news. Article, and this was in response to my man Mel from yesterday. He had talked about the federalization of the police department. There was an article that I put in. This one came from donotreply.com. Obama federalizes the police. Here's how. This is just one way. Check out that article and I put that in for my man Mel. Next article came from Reuters. Very telling article. From Reuters, UN, cool on Syrian opposition plan to bypass Russia's veto. Basically, what's happening is that the UN is starting to move, trying to get Russia out of the Security Council for their permanent position on the Security Council. Why? Because without them, then there are other nations, the United States, that can do whatever they want, and this is how you would have the overall bombing of Syria, where they would have that gas pipeline that they want to control, because they need that for the overall economy. You can see this thing starting to unfold, and I would say, ladies and gentlemen, continue to prepare, because this at some point is going to come to a head of a military confrontation that is going to lead to an expansion of a military confrontation, and we've been talking about that, and it's so important that we prepare for it. So this is why we have Tando Radio Show. Next article, huge article. Huge article. My commentary on this was huge. U.S. dollar not used in this exchange. This comes from Reuters. India gets its first Iranian oil parcel for emergency reserves. The commodity on Wednesday, October the 21st, 2016. And MRPL shipped 2 million barrels of Iranian oil to India, which fills half of the storage with a 6 million barrel of Iranian oil, while continue to talk with the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia for the remainder. So Iran was able to deliver its first parcel of emergency oil reserve to India. Why is this so important? They didn't use the dollar in this exchange. And India actually facilitated a deal of trade without using the dollar. Ladies and gentlemen, this means that the overall, you're going to start to see the purchasing power of the dollar, and this is why you're starting to see the military confrontation. It's all about economic sovereignty and control of resources that is going to be fought for, and to reestablish itself to make it so that they can continue to perpetuate their agenda of subjugation and enslavement of the everyday person. So those are the articles that we posted today. I don't want to keep Brother Davis waiting. So we're going to jump into Wise Wednesday. We're going to end all the shows now. We'll be ending a little earlier because of the new program setup that we have. YouTube is now a part of Black Talk Radio Network, has a YouTube channel for all of the programs. So welcome to the YouTube participants. Glad to have you. So we're going, without further ado, we're going to go ahead straight to Brother Davis, who is in queue. Brother Davis, welcome to our show of Tando Radio Show, and looking forward to this Wise Wednesday with you and Sister Davis.
All right. It's always good to hear the voice of a friend, my brother.
And yes, it is.
I need you to do me a favor,
yes,
though. If you look on the board, you'll see Sister Davis's number, 803. Could you bring her on so we're here?
I sure will.
Together.
Yes. Unmuted. Sister Davis, good to hear from you, Sister Davis.
Hey there. Yes, I'm on. I can hear everybody.
Great. Now, this is going to be a dynamic show. I'm looking forward to it. We got Team Davis here live and in studio on this Wednesday, October the 12th, 2016. So, Brother Davis, Sister Davis, the floor is yours. And as soon as we get callers, I will let you know, and we will get everything going.
Excellent. Once again, I want to extend to everybody, please, take this opportunity and call in with any question. It's simple, regardless of how you see it to be, it may be something that someone else can use. Tonight's show is going to be basically how to downsize in an efficient way and how to utilize those resources so that you can buy things that will be of use to you as we start to go through these here transitions. So to start the show off tonight, I want to ask, and not for a reply, but just so you'll know, on Friday I had mentioned that when you walk around the house during the weekend, carry a pencil and a piece of paper and write down those things that you really are not using or could do without. Because, see, when you write those things down, now you have your list to start your focusing to your downside. Would you like to add something to that, darling?
Yes. One thing I'd like to say is that, you know, you all know, most of the people in the listening audience know that we're truck drivers. And within our truck, we live. We are over-the-road team trucking, so we have to carry most of everything with us. So that gave me a very raw, let's get it together, what can get in this truck and what we don't need to get in this truck. So we had to downsize to get in here. Then we went from one job to another where one truck was bigger than another, then we had to downsize again. And then you wonder, like, what is all this for? But, you know, this is our pre-planning. You know how sometimes a situation will be tossed in your lap. It's actually a learning experience, and that's what I think this is a pre-prep learning experience for us. And within these walls that we live in this truck, we have found out what is most important, what is not most important, and junk that we don't need. So if now most people in the listening audience is probably not faced with that particular situation, but if you could in your mind look within your home and see if you had to totally downsize more than half of what you have, just in your mind, what would be the most important things that you need and what don't you need? Now, in this situation, as we go forward with all this current event and all this stuff that's going on in the news, we're not sure exactly when everything is going to really hit the fan, but understand that all the avenues are starting to build and you need to take notice. Now, a lot of people think, oh, well, nothing's going to happen and we don't need to prepare, la, 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 la. Guess what? At least start to prepare. If it doesn't happen, just look around your apartment or your home. Guess what? You cleaned out some things that you're not going to use anyway. If it does happen, you'll already be in that prepare mode. And if you've listened to this show long enough, for enough weeks, you will know that we are in preparation mode. So we had mentioned last week about just taking a few moments, look around your home or your apartment, and see what is important and what is not. Now, I'm a family person. We're family people. We have children and grandchildren. And I always like to include children and grandchildren in most of everything we do. So when we downsize, I would suggest you to have your children downsize. Why? Because if you go into your children's room and say, well, this toy isn't important, or this outfit isn't important, or these shoes aren't important, you might get a fight on your hands, because kids will say, no, I want that toy, even though it doesn't work, it needs batteries, but I want it. But what you have to do is give them an idea that if you downsize, guess what? If you sell those items, you'll have finances to purchase other items, or finances to save for other items that you need. It just depends on how, what kind of lingo you go in there with your idea. Even, and you can also do that same type of attitude to your spouse, because maybe you're on this page of downsizing and preparing, and your spouse, God love that other person, but you know, maybe that person's not on your same page and they're looking at you like, I like all my man cave things and I like all my old shoes and I like all my old purposes. Why are you coming in here in my personal space and trying to get rid of stuff? But you're going to have to sit down, talk to that person, and give that person an understanding that this is something that we need to do as a group, and we all need to be on the same page, and perhaps that other person that is not on the same page needs to listen to this show along with you and get some ideas of what's coming down the pike. It just depends on the attitude and the way you go about trying to get everybody within your household on the same page. Honey, wouldn't you say that's important?
Absolutely. And I have a simple concept that I use, and my wife has a concept that she uses. Now, when I downsize, in reference to what it's coming, I ask myself four questions. Can I drink it? Can I eat it? Can I wear it? Can I use it? And that's where I start to critique at. Because in reality, we'll take things because we have an attachment to them. But are they useful? Can they be service you in a time when they're needed? Okay? And the reason why I choose the truth is because everything that we have, we either wear it, we use it, because you're going to have to wash it if you wear it, and you're going to have to maintain it if you use it. Now, I point that out because there are certain people who feel like, well, I got a radio, and I need to have that radio for communications. Well, you also have to service it. So you have to have batteries for that radio, too. I'm trying to give you an idea of thinking in reference to how you can work at peak efficiency under duress circumstances. Would you like to add to that, darling?
Yes, that's most important. And the first thing you need to do is go through your home and put the most valuable things that you know are absolutely positively valuable to you aside. Now, that might be some grandmother's silverware that's absolutely positively pure silver, that's been sitting in a drawer that's tarnished and looks old and tattered. But guess what? That is high value. So you might want to take that out and put that aside. If you have gold jewelry or silver jewelry, go through it and see what's real and what isn't, because those type of things are valuable. Maybe you have an earring that's just one earring and not the other, but that one earring still may have value if it's pure gold or pure silver or platinum. So you want to go through and get the most important things that are very valuable and put them aside. Now, if you were listening to the show yesterday, we did kind of listen in and out on the show yesterday, and one of the call-ins had mentioned about older TVs have a certain amount of copper and a certain amount of silver. I think he said copper and silver within the wiring. And if you know how to take all that apart, or you know, you have a friend that knows how to strip that in, that type of thing, yes, that old big butt tube TV will have some value if you know how to get the value out of it. If you don't know how to get the value out of it and you throw it away, you throw it out back, you're going to see that somebody has come and taken the back of the TV off and got that out. That's what people do. If they see an old TV sitting by the wayside, they take it apart. But if you know how to do that, fine. If you don't know how do that, perhaps that TV is not of value, but it could be of value if it's working. A lot of these older TVs, they're not big screen, but they do work. Sometimes families use them as for video games or things like that. If it's valuable and you can sell it for $10 or $15, because that's all about what they're worth, go right ahead and sell those things. And as far as selling them, the fall is a good time to do yard sales, and I'll tell you why. In the summertime, in the heat of July and August, it's too hot. A lot of people don't want to spend their Saturday morning standing at a lawn, sweating, you know, at 90-degree temperatures. But when the fall comes and you have that cool breeze generally across the United States, a lot of people are more welcoming to do early morning yard sales just because the temperature is cooler. So that's a good idea to put some of your things.
There's a break coming up.
Okay. Dave, just let me know when a break comes.
Yes, ma'am. I sure will.
And,
Roll
and,
on,
and,
sister.
and sometimes in the fall, it's just a little bit easier to get people to come out to your yard sales because it's cooler. And those old TVs, those old stereos you're not using, the old, go through your DVDs, you know, all that stuff that you don't want. It might not have any value to you, but it possibly and usually has value to someone else. Now, we're telling you about this at this time because in the future, if it goes according to the current events that we are getting, and we are getting some very high-end, not in regular news current events. If you listen to this show for more than a week, you should be very knowledgeable of these current events that are coming down the pipe that you don't see on CNN, because all that is about is Trump and Hillary, and you don't see on MSNBC, you don't hear it on mainstream anything. But if you listen to this show, you know that we are perhaps and most likely in the precursor of war. And guess what? All these things that you have in your home right now aren't going to make a hill of beans to anybody when basic survival or basic needs are at the forefront. So you might want to think about getting rid of this stuff right now while the people who are not paying attention aren't thinking about the about what's going on. Unfortunately, you're going to have people who know, you have the know, the people who know and the people who don't know. Right now, unfortunately, the people who don't know are the ones that are going to buy this stuff. Now, if you feel as though you don't want people who don't know to buy your things because they don't know it, fine. Bring them on in the show and give them some education, and you won't feel bad about selling them your old equipment. But if they're not paying attention to what you say generally, then, hey, you got to do what you got to do for you. And we do understand that all these things that you might need as far as prepping, as far as getting perhaps ham radios or getting different types of gear, different types of camping gear or water filtration and different types of medications and herbs and things, that stuff is very expensive. And as we go forward in the future, it's going to be even more expensive. So right now is the perfect time to downsize your things and sell them to friends, family, garage sales, church bazaars, whatever you might have to. And you need to truly kind of get your butt in the gear, because by the time the holidays come, with November, with Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's going to be the focus. People want to want, they're not going to want used anything. They're going to want to go to Walmart and buy a big screen and this and that. But this is a kind of a key time. It's pretty quiet on Main Street America, other than the election, that it might be a good time to get rid of these things. And like I said, you can sell them on Craigslist. The only thing I suggest about if you sell on Craigslist, you can put your stuff in your car, meet them in a parking lot, have someone with you. Never do it by yourself, or maybe do it with a couple of people, because people sometimes have different intentions. I have sold and I have purchased things on Craigslist personally. I have never, ever had a problem, but I always have had somebody with me. I would never venture off by myself. So some people don't feel comfortable a person coming to their home to look at items, but you could put your items on a porch, put your items in the yard, have them come by and get the baby clothes or the bassinet or whatever you're selling, and they're just not privy to going into your home. That's one suggestion. Or you can meet them somewhere. And like I said, always have somebody with you, somebody that's kind of big that looks like ain't going to be messed with. But generally, most people on Craigslist, I've never run into a problem, and none of my friends or family have ever run into a problem. But that's always good. To do church bazaars, a lot of times for $10 you can get a church table at one of the church bazaars. And if you know you're doing a church bazaar, think about the people that's going to be there, other church ladies, other church children. That would be a nice time to get rid of, you know, men's suits, women's dresses, and pocketbooks and shoes, because that's the motif of those people that are kind of coming in. If it's a church bazaar, a lot of times they're looking for something that then they can wear to church, or that they can go and use for a purpose that might be church related. Also, kids' clothing. that's a great way to make a lot of money to sell a kid's clothes in groups. You can do a whole wardrobe. You can go through your children's closets, pick out, and have them, the children, with you. When I go to my grandmother's house, and I stand there, and I have her try on all kinds of stuff. Does this fit? Does that fit? It takes a couple hours to really go through it, but we sit down. What do you want? What don't you want? So that they are involved. Because if you kind of snatch some things from children, and they think it's in the closet and it isn't, sometimes they can get very attached to clothing or stuffed animals, and it's just fair to let them be part of it. And if you let them be part of it, then you can also give them the understanding that they can be part of the revenue. And believe me, most children will then be eager. Also, when the children are doing it, they can price it, they can do their own math, they can have a calculator, or, you know, get them involved so they can see the value of what they're doing, as opposed to just not being involved. But believe me, kids' clothing is very marketable. What we've done...
Hey, Sister Davis, hold on 1 second. Hold on right there. We're getting, whenever you hear the music, that's to let you know that we're going into the commercial break. Man, great information. Whew, I'm loving it all. Listen, everyone, you listen to Tando Radio Show on Wise Wednesday with Team Davis right here on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We have live in studio today, listening on Wise Wednesday with the Davis team. So, they are, man, it's just so much. Sister Davis and Brother Davis, I love how they exchange as a tag team, going back and forth with each other, and information is just so much. So we're going to get back to them. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, have a question for Brother and Sister Davis, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound and hit star 61, and I will see you in queue, and I'll let Brother and Sister Davis know that you're in queue. There's a caller that's in queue right now, Davis team, so at any point and any time, if you'd like to pull that caller up, I will do that when you're ready. I'll do it.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Go ahead and put the caller
in. Okay, here we go. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show on Wise Wednesday with the Davis team. What is your question or comment for Brother and Sister Davis?
What's up, Davis? Ramon from 719, Mike.
Brother Ramon, L.A. Ramon, what's going on, brother?
What's up, brother? Hey, just quickly, I wanted to ask Sister Davis if he could write something to help me as a father to try to explain to the women in my life. I have a lot of females, you know, I got four daughters and my wife, that's five females in my house regularly. One thing I deal with a lot that I even talked to Brother Davis about this question a few weeks back is how to get them to accept or try to get to look at, try to be a little more conservative about their grooming habits and stuff that I feel like can help to alleviate some of these problems when we're up against having them trying to prepare, or, you know, the particularly the women in my life are having a big issue with understanding sometimes that, you know, you don't have to groom for 2 hours just to go down to the grocery store. You know, it's just one of those right. things that I feel like we got to work on with our women, because they don't want to break a nail. They don't want to get dirt under their fingernails. I'm not knocking women. I'm asking for help. But I'm
right.
saying
you got the right one, man.
She sounds like it, too.
Brother, you know, and I understand, and I was there, and most women that have no longer there have been there. We all have been there. And the best way, in my opinion, to have them all get on board is that they have to take focus of what's happening in the current events. And right now they probably, oh, ain't nothing going to happen. That's all propaganda. You know, that ain't happening on my street and all of that. But you can see with the natural hair movement that just natural hair has gotten women to focus on their inner beauty and not the outer beauty. Now, that's something that's just kind of moved, trotting along, and some women are harnessing it and some are not. But other than that, brother, it's just going to be a culture shock when it hits them. But one suggestion that I might suggest is that when you are around these women, or just say if they come over or they're there, play the Tando show kind of loud, you know, put it audio so that they can hear it. Sometimes we're kind of private with our earphones or earpieces, and we're listening, and the people around us are not listening. But you might have to put yourself in their little neck of the woods and let them hear what you're hearing. And then, because if you hear sometimes the way Dave does the current events between 6 and 6:30, 1, 2, 3, this is happening, 4, 5, 6, we got to be on board with the, you know, and people from the outside looking in, that will start to spark them. Then they see what you are doing. They see that you're, you know, making preparations. Or if you have one woman within that group of women that's starting to make some changes, then they will piggyback on what that woman is doing. But yes, I feel you, brother, because just getting the friends I know to stop watching Empire, you know, that's like, hey, you know, and they ask me, well, you know such and such. No, I don't know them because I don't pay any attention to that. I have bigger fish to fry. That's what I kind of relate to them. And I just keep speaking it. But yes, I do know, I do know what you mean. But when the rubber hits the road, it's just going to be a culture shock. And you're just going to have to pick them up when that rubber hits the road. You're going to have to be out in the street with them and keep them moving. Because really, unless they hear it for themselves, you might want to make some articles. Maybe you could print some articles and kind of leave around, you know, where they might see it. Sometimes in the bathroom, believe it or not, more people read in the bathroom than a little bit. If they're sitting there and there's an article that's within reach and they read it and, you know, and it's pretty much talking about the world and their environment, they might be able to just take heed because they're sitting in a place and they're reading it. And we talk about it, you know. You'd be surprised. That's one of the ways that you can harness it. And then you can also talk to them about downsizing. You know, I was getting ready to talk about the consignment shops. When people get hooked on some of these consignment shops and see how much money it is to be made from consignment shops, and then they could take their money and purchase something else, that can start to get them into a groove of someone's trash is someone's treasure, kind of subliminally. Because these consignment shops, I was going to talk about the one called do any of the women that you're talking about have children or young babies?
Yeah, I have 3 grandchildren and another one on the way. So that's what scares me a lot.
I can imagine. Now, there is a shop called Once Upon a Child, and that's a franchise that's pretty much all over the country. And what they do is they buy used children items, usually from the size of 14, 16, like teenage kids, 14 to 16, all the way down to infants. They even buy maternity things. But the third, you got the ultrasound, and it was the boy. So then we went back, and we went into the third floor, And we went and got all that girl stuff, because with each girl, she kept saving stuff because, you know, she would use it. And we went through that whole third floor and took everything that was pink and purple and sold it at the consignment shop, Once Upon a Child. When we walked out of there, brother, we had $300 in our hand. And that really woke me up, and it woke her up. Because if these young women keep their baby things pretty neat, you know, kind of all the pieces together, if it's a layout set with the bumper pads and this and that, kind of keep all that stuff together after the babies outgrow it. Sometimes babies don't even wear that stuff. You get nice stuff from the baby shower, and it's not really the kind of clothing that you want. Your brother, they can sell that stuff top dollar. You know, those little baby Jordans that are 2 inches long that never touch any type of pavement, they spend $50-$60 for those little tiny shoes. They can sell them for $50-$60. I mean, these stores know what they want. They know what to buy. They know the value. And when you walk out of there, you have cash in your hand. And sometimes when you can trade in and get money for certain items, bassinets, playpens, strollers, you know, because some of these kids got the Cadillac of strollers, you know, $400-$500 strollers, and they go to the mall and walk them one time. You can sell that stuff. And that type of value starts getting some of these women into the mode of, hey, you know, I can make some money. There's some money to be made. Also, there's money to be made with all those pocketbooks, all these bling-bling pocketbooks that these women wear, and they use it once or twice. You take them to some of these consignment shops, and some of the consignment shops within them have a boutique of high-end stuff. And once that stuff sells, you get some serious money, some serious cash money. And sometimes that kind of information can get women more on board about getting downsizing. But other than that, brother, yeah, all you have to do is continue doing what you're doing and let them be privy to some of the things that you hear. You know, if you go over to where they're at between 6 and 8, just let the music play loud. Let the show play loud so that they can hear it. You'd be surprised what in their spirit that they will hear, you know. And that's the best advice I can give, because it is difficult to get family members all on the same page. But you do have to plan for those family members.
You know, man, Sister Davis, great point. Nothing, you know, and I don't want to take away from Brother and Sister Davis' time, because it's amazing. Let them see, you know, a lot of us are visual. And like Sister Davis said, when they can see things and then they'll hear something else in their spirit, let them watch what happened in Katrina. Have a family, no technology day. And just play what happened in Katrina, where you can see what happened to the people, unedited, uncut. And you can see, and then just ask the question, are we ready for something like this to happen to us? And then now you get them to answer that question, and then you can start to come together with a plan of action for the family. So I just wanted to add that real quick.
Right. Even just what happened with, like, we had some family members and a good friend of mine who I always say, listen to the Tando show, are you saving water, all this and that. She lives right in Jacksonville, Florida. And she had to evacuate when they had this hurricane come through, and she went to her daughter's house, but all her stuff, she said, oh yeah, Erica, I was saving water and everything, but she left the water and all the stuff at her house. She didn't take it to the daughter's house, and the daughter wasn't doing any prepping. So she saw, now it ended up that, you know, they were only away for a day or so, and it wasn't as bad as they thought. But yeah, it was a little culture shock for her, because she saved at her apartment, but then left her apartment to go to her daughter's apartment, and then didn't have the stuff with her. And she realized, uh-oh, that was kind of stupid. You know, I didn't have what I did with me, not understanding the more valuable place to be. She's just thinking, I want to be with my grandkids, but she got over there and didn't have any resources. But just thankfully, it wasn't as bad as they thought, so it was only like a day that they were there. So, but yeah. And my husband, he was the tag in on it.
Yeah, I like to also say, in a situation when you're dealing with children, you're going to have to give her the visual of the responsibility that it would require if in one of those type of situations. And the sad part about it is that most of the people that get caught up in them are not prepared. You still have a window of opportunity. Convey that to her. And believe me, because you have a communication skills in your marriage, you can literally open doors that she will open for you. Because as revelation kicks in, she'll begin to understand that she has a responsibility and a role in this. And that's to help you. And if you're thinking along the course of what is best for the family, because we go through it too, no two people see the same thing the same way. And me and my wife have been married 35 years, and we still don't see everything the same way. But because we have the ability to listen and communicate, we can find common ground where we both can find a certain degree of personal satisfaction. And that's exactly what you'll find.
Also, we did, in the summertime, you know, we did a camping trip. You know, with the kids, we did a camping trip, and we saw what we had up against what we didn't have and what we needed. That might be a nice little opportunity for you and your family to plan a, you know, plan a camping trip and tell everybody, okay, let's just bring what you want and then get somewhere and realize this is not what you need. Right there in their face, sort of, you know, just kind of a little weekend in the woods, a little weekend Appalachian Trail or something like that. Nothing where it's going to be a deadly situation, not too far from home. But if you just take a camping trip, believe me, just for one weekend, 48 hours, you will see, and they will see what's most important. Because if they just forget toilet paper, they're going to be looking around.
Well, I hope this has helped you, brother.
Well, I would say this. Y'all have helped me to open up my mind to some different ways of approaching it, because it also, Sister Davis actually opened up I don't want to take y'all time, so I'll ask this and I'm going to mute. But
No, go ahead.
Where you, consumerism is a real big problem, but I'm going to say this. Here's where I have the often trouble with trying to get these messages y'all just spoke across to my family, or particularly, let's just say, me and my wife. This ongoing thing with Wells Fargo, I've been daily trying to, you know, not only vocally tell her these things, but I've actually been, like, turning on the TV news, just kind of when that subject matter pops up, throwing little articles. She's complaining about all these things that they keep telling people that Wells Fargo is doing, and I'm telling her every time she, or I'm reinforcing the need to break free from Wells Fargo, particularly because she's always complaining about some fees, some overdraft happened when it shouldn't have happened, and you know, and because you know, being a breadwinner of my family, I have to say I probably did the worst job with not letting them have to get up and kind of do certain things, because I've always been the one to get it done. So I think, you know, I know I've added to my own situation here. At the same time, I think where I have trouble is if you know someone, if somebody's pouring hot water on your feet, I don't know how you keep sticking your feet back under that hot water. That's what I think I'm having an issue with particularly anybody, but in this case, my own family who can experience these things, some of these things y'all talking about, they're experiencing them directly, and I'm trying to get them to use that moment as a means of saying, can you try to listen to a little bit of what this stuff I've been trying to get y'all to listen to see how it may correlate with your current experience? And I'll mute my line. But Sister Davis, I want to ask you this. You said what you said so eloquent. Could you produce a film on something like that, a little small podcast where we can, because there are so many different types of personalities and women, okay? And I'll mute my line.
You know, brother, that's a good idea. Maybe I will just do one of those little live videos or so of talking about it. Yeah, because I do know that a lot of women, it is hard to change lanes and now look at everything in such value. One thing that happened to us, even my husband, when we were young, we were in a major flood in the city that we lived, and it was in 1972, and our house got flooded like 5 feet on the first floor, and my husband's home, his family home that he was in, was flooded. So at an early age, we realized what was important and what wasn't, because pretty much everything of importance was flooded between the basement and the first floor. Now, you know, dishes and things could be washed and cleaned, that type of thing, but in the dining room bureau was like all your family pictures in an album that were gone, you know. And as a matter of fact, all of my, you know how you go through elementary school and every year you get that picture taken with the class? That kind of stuff was gone, and I was like, wow, you know. So we kind of lost a lot at an early age that kind of made us more aware of what's kind of in our surroundings. So once a person kind of goes through that type of major loss, or like even if somebody gets something repossessed from them, you know, like they never paid for the car or they came and got the furniture, for a minute you have this flashback of, oh my goodness, what I pay for is no longer here? What are you talking about? Same thing with Wells Fargo. I put my money in the bank and something bounces and it's a domino effect, and next thing you know, $150 is gone, and that was $150 that I was going to get my hair done. Oh my goodness, you know, that's terrible. You know, but, you know, a lot of women just, they're going to have to, you just, the environment of the people that you're around kind of have to be talking on the same page. They're going to get so that maybe they don't want to even be around you when you start talking about it, but that's just the real life. Unfortunately, this stuff is coming down the pike, and people who absorb it and deal with it are going to be much further, even spiritually, not even with the material things, but just spiritually able to let go. Because it's very, very difficult. You know, some people, it's very difficult to let go of baby furniture. And it's just, you'd be surprised. But when they can't pay for their mortgage or their car payment or whatever, you look around and you have all this valuable stuff that's just sitting. And that's why downsizing is so important. I never really saw it until I got into this trucking thing. And I saw what this truck could, we could hold in this truck. And when we're driving on the highway, I can see what is important and what is not, because based on space. And if something were to happen the next day or so, we're prepared. We don't have everything, but we have most. Wouldn't you say, Richard?
Yes, and you know what? You may not realize it, but they're running a program right now to desensitize people into large houses into tiny houses. They have a purpose behind that, because if you notice on the internet, they're starting to introduce what's called portable shelters. These is the same exact program being coming back to you in a way that's supposed to appear convenient for you. But you have to understand, they always have a principle behind their logic, and that may not be what is actually best for you. So you still have to stay on your game. All right, so I'm hoping that helped you out, brother. But listen, when my wife, we're going to sit down tomorrow, we're going to come up with the concept of how to be able to convey these ideas. We'll shoot a phone video, and what we'll do is I'll have Dave give me your number. I'll shoot you a copy of it. Hopefully that'll be a tool that you could use. But if there's anything else we could do, just give us a call, and we'll go from there. But I wanted to – is there any more calls, Dave?
No, sir. Line is clear.
Okay, I wanted to talk directly to the men now. The reason why is because there's a certain degree of downsizing that you must do according to your area of expertise. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you're a mechanic, there's a chance that you got abundance of tools. There's certain tools, you know, you might have several of that you don't use as much as you do other tools. These are the type of things that you want to take to the flea markets, or you want to post online. Because, see, you can get by with certain tools, a ratchet set, maybe a hammer, a saw. You have to focus on how you can downsize. But yet, if you need to get back in the profession, you might be a mechanic, you might be small engine repair, you will have the tools that would make you efficient to be able to meet the needs of that may come along during a diverse circumstance. But the reason why I point that out is because those excess tools mean excess income. So that, and it doesn't actually always have to be income. You may be doing bartering. And understand this, ladies, you can also do the same thing. It's not that you have to always have money. If somebody has backpacks, sleeping bags, those sort of things, and they don't have cash, but they don't see the need for those sort of things, then those would make very good bartering items also. Now, the reason why I'm pointing these things out is because sometimes the solution to a given circumstance is right before our face, but we don't see it. And the reason why we don't see it is because we're not looking at it from that angle. So in reality, everything that you have becomes a principal use, whether it's trade, sale, or barter. And keep this in mind, that there are going to be some things that people have and they don't have any cash resources. Well, that thing may be worthy of the trade that you're willing to make. Just make sure that you get something as close to equal value as possible. Now, understand how I said that, because you may not be able to get equal value. But let me give you an example. Say the lights go out, or say the electric stops. There's no heat. But yet, here's a person that has a sleeping bag that's a minus 50. And you look at it and say, that's kind of big and it's kind of gawky. And it's basically a blanket. In reality, no. That minus 50 means that that would keep your body temperature consistent at a temperature of minus 50 degrees. The little nuances of understanding the specs may make a world of difference in how you do bartering. So every aspect of what you do, you want it to be to your advantage. It might be selling skillets. Well, you don't want the whole set, but you might want that, your 8-inch or that 10-inch fry pan, because it's made of cast iron. And when you cook in it, that what you cook in it will also give you iron back for your body and the consumption of the food you cook in it. So these things, we play a dual role in your negotiating or your bargaining, whatever you have. Man, if you, like I said before, if you're a mechanic, you might have some batteries that you're not using, but you know how to place the batteries so that they can be recharged. Well, you know you can't sit them on the ground, so you might have four or five batteries. You set them high on the shelf somewhere in the garage, and then a push comes to a shove, and all of a sudden the lights are out and everything. You could figure out a way to generate energy in that battery if you have to hook it up to a bicycle in order to make it a self-generating generator by pumping the bicycle. There's a lot of different avenues you want to keep open to your mindset, because remember, in order to achieve the impossible, you have to not think practical. And understand how I said that, because if you're thinking practical, you're going to be limiting your thought process to those things that you are familiar and aware with. But you may see a experiment. Perfect example is one of those here science fairs. You might go to a science fair and see how somebody can connect kinetic energy up so that they can attach it to a bike wheel through a band, and the person turns the bike or pumping the bike and the wheel is going around, it's generating enough kinetic energy to charge a battery. These things must really be tools that you use in every aspect of what you're trying to do. And I'm only speaking in reference to that circumstance, but women, this may have to deal with clothes, sewing. This may have to deal with food and preparation. This might have to deal with first aid and bandages. We have to see beyond the immediate thing to what the ultimate usage that we find for it may be, and it may have nothing to do with the original purpose of it. What do you think about that, darling?
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I know we're coming up on a break soon. Absolutely true. That we have to, you might even want to do a contest within the family with children and say, okay, we're going to have a yard sale, and whoever sells the most stuff gets a prize. You know, it's a little parody on what you got to do, but to get everybody involved. If you have young women in the home, as a father, you could say, look, don't bring no clothes in here without getting rid of something. You buy a dress, you get rid of a dress. That's the new house rule. We buy new furniture, we get rid of this furniture. If you want a new coat, you go out and you go and you get rid of a coat and start doing a mental and physical exchange, because people do grow and they do need things. So you could just make it a point. Hey, you want to buy a new pocketbook? You have to show me that you're getting rid of a pocketbook. Give it to your girlfriend, sell it, give it to the Goodwill, whatever you're going to do. And that might start some balance. that might start some balance. Another suggestion could be...
Hold on, Sister Davis. Let's hit this break, because I don't want you, because you're gonna bring something very important. I don't want to cut it off halfway. When we come back, you're listening to Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Man, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. Listen to Wise Wednesday with the Davis team. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network on this Wise Wednesday with Team Davis. And we're going to go back to Brother and Sister Davis, and Sister Davis was making a point. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#. So, Sister Davis, all yours.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. I was going to say that what you might want to do also is, if you know you have no camping gear, you might want to get real professional camping tents, which I suggest everybody to at least get a tent. You might want to, go through the aisle at Walmart or Cabela's or one of those places and just see in the camping department what things cost, different gear that they have, special tents and things for cold weather, hot weather, and just get a feel of how expensive this stuff is. What you might want to do is lay things away and then have yard sales, and you want to get X amount of dollars to pay off this particular tent that you want. Or, if you make goals and let the family get involved, say, hey, we're going to go camping. When? I'm not sure, but we're going to go camping eventually. We're going to buy these things, and it's going to be fun, fun, fun. And what we want you to do is get rid of some of the stuff that you don't need, and that's going to go into the kitty so that we can buy this fun stuff. Now, they might think it's fun, and you might just be fibbing a bit because it's going to be survival. But depending on the level of understanding of the people that you're dealing with, you got to kind of work with what the speed that they're on. Unfortunately, everybody, like I said, is not on the same page. But when you start prepping and you start realizing what water filtrations cost and what zero temperature wear clothing cost and the stuff that you absolutely positively need, you're just going to have to put money aside to purchase it. Or if somebody says, hey, my birthday's coming up, what you want? Well, I want this water filtration system here. It's $1,500. What can you add? Dad, do you want me to buy you a filtration water thing that's $1,500? Well, yes, that's that important to me. If you don't want to buy it, if you can't buy it, just whatever you can contribute to it. Then the children and the family starts understanding, wow, either this man is losing his mind or he really has a focus here that we might be needing to grasp. Because sometimes when it's in your face such as that, I know at home, when we go back home, when we stay at our we stay several places when we have downtime. One of the downtime places that we do is my dad's house where I grew up. And about a year ago, he wasn't on the page that we're on. Now he sees us getting stuff through Amazon and stuff being delivered, and I'll open it up right in front of him. Oh, well, you got this or you got that. And now, guess what? He's starting. As a matter of fact, last year for Christmas, he bought me a little solar-powered radio crank with the crank on the side radio where you could put your USB, and he only purchased that because he saw the mindset that I was on. It was a surprise to me. Matter of fact, it was two for one price, and he said he bought one, and he gave the other one to me. Now, to me, that was a big deal because that means, ooh, you know what? I'm spreading it, and my dad's starting to absorb it. As to where before, he really didn't think any of this was going to come down the pike. But because he was born in 1930, he went through the Depression as a child. Me and my husband tap his brain all the time about, well, Dad, what did you all use for this? And what did you all use for that? And I think because we started asking him so many questions and were very... wanted to know truly the information because he lived through it, he started seeing the value that we had. So when he bought me this little crank radio that was solar powered, that meant the world to me because that made me understand that my dad is coming up on the same page. He might not be where I'm at, but he's starting to understand. And that took me by surprise.
Another thing I want you to understand is this. Not everybody is going to get it. I don't say that to discourage you. I say that because when that light does go on, they may need you as a reference. But do not let them know where your treasured resources are. Because when people don't, when they get desperate, they don't have any relationship that they value enough to respect not taking what you have. And you must keep that in mind. Another thing I want to point out to you is this. Don't let a lot of your family know what you're doing if they don't turn on. So you got your immediate household, but if your cousins and those outside of your household are not getting the message you're trying to convey, don't risk your resources by giving them too much information that has to do with what you're trying to do. That's it. Okay? I don't want to follow that up anymore. I want to move on to prepare taking this time now to take and learn something on the internet that could be a tool for you in a group situation. Now, this isn't the first time that I have said this or conveyed it. But right now, that in itself can be an avenue which will enrich your position in the group in reference to them being able to sustain whatever it is that the gift is that you bring. And now, that might be small engine repair. That might be just having a woodsman mentality. Now, what does that mean? That means someone who knows how to live in the woods. Someone who knows how to adapt in different diverse circumstances. And remember the region of the country you live in. Because some places have four seasons. And you must prepare for that. And in doing so, you may want to have things that are versatile enough to be used in two or three more seasons. Okay? So these sort of things are thought processes you want to keep at the forefront. Now I'm going to go back to my wife because women have a certain degree of necessity that they have to sustain and be able to convey that importance to the man. Because I'm going to tell you, I go through this with my wife. When she was, I'm saying, what? Yeah, but this is necessary. And so when it's a necessity, it means that it cannot be done without. So, Erica?
What he might be referring to are certain types of personal items women might have to have you know, personal body needs, and they can start buying a little extra. You know, maybe there's one that you have a coupon, you can buy an extra package, put it aside, go to someplace like Sam's, Walmart, buy something that's personal, women's personal items, put it aside. You might want to buy tissues or toilet paper, a little bit in bulk, put it aside. Another thing, of the medicines that you are, prescription medicines, if you can ever talk your doctor into giving you a little couple extra prescriptions, or maybe every so often you can say, you know, I lost it, it fell over, the pill spilled out on the floor, you might have to lie a little bit to get a little stash going, because usually they try to keep you within a certain window, but every so often if you drop something or you lose something or you forgot something, you can get an extra prescription here and there. If it's something that's life-sustaining, you could start now by looking on the internet and seeing if you have certain medical conditions, what is an alternative, holistic source for that. Even if you don't, not using it right now, at least have some idea to, like, for example, with high blood pressure, celery and oatmeal. If you ate celery on a regular basis, had oatmeal on a regular basis, that would also help to bring down your blood pressure. Now, in the case that you don't actually have your blood pressure medicine. So those are little things that you can look at based on your personal needs. While the internet is available, you could start doing your own research. You know, does it make sense, like Dave said, I think he mentioned it yesterday, as far as YouTube being a university? Yeah, you go into downsizing on YouTube. DIY, do it yourself, DIY. Is do-it-yourself camping gear, do-it-yourself toilet, do-it-yourself, you know, whatever you want to do, do-it-yourself preserving, jellies, whatever it is, whatever you like to do, whatever your needs are, there's a do-it-yourself video, believe me, out there that deals with it. Yes, dear.
I also want to add, Sue, I mentioned before about Himalayan salt. People are beginning to realize that they're going to require supplements. Himalayan salt has 90 of the ingredients on minerals on the periodical chart. So now there are several ways you can prepare this. I believe I mentioned this before, but let me mention it again, because literally it may turn into be the vitamins and minerals that you get in diverse circumstances. I would say get the Himalayan salt that's chopped up but not crystallized. The reason why is because when the crystals, when they start to disappear, that doesn't mean that it's in your system. That doesn't mean that it goes into your system. All right? But what it does mean is that it's released whatever's in it. I like the chunks because you can see the chunks in the water. So put that in like a 16-ounce bottle of water or a quart jar. Let it sit all day, so that minerals will be released out of the Himalayan salt, and then drink it. Now, for those people who have high blood pressure, do not worry about Himalayan salt. That is not a threat to high blood pressure. Iodine salt is a threat to high blood pressure. Himalayan salt literally will be more soothing to you than it will as a vitamin and mineral than it would by hurting you because of having high blood pressure. These are the type of things you look for. You want to look for a lot of colorful foods and fruits because they're known for antibiotics. That reinforces your immune system. And understand this here. I know we're trying to give you a lot of information in a short period of time, but these all come in creating the full package, which is what we're trying to do. Would you like to add to that, darling?
Yeah, I do want to add that our oldest, well, we have one daughter, she owed us some money. This is a little story, but I'm going to tell you, this gave her a little bit more of an impact. She owed us $150, and you know how kids are. If they borrow money from us, we always try to make sure they pay it back, because if you borrow it, you pay it back. And just the integrity of it. So, you know, it might not all come in a lump sum like we gave it, but she owed us $150. So this was just a couple of weeks ago. So we got the $150 back. And what I did is I went to True Value, and I purchased one of those big silver cans, trash cans. And I purchased that. I went out to Sam's and I bought some water. I went to Walmart and bought some of the little packages of rice. And I bought a bunch of, we went to this one little store, Sharp Shopper, that has a lot of canned goods kind of discounted. And I bought $150 worth of supplies. Just a couple weeks ago when all this talk of war really started coming up. And so when we pulled up, we had all the stuff in the back of the car, and her husband was there. We had him come out, and he was like, "Oh, Mr. Rich, what's all this stuff?" It's like, "Well, this is some prep stuff I want you to put in your basement." He was like, "Oh man, you really taking this stuff seriously?" Yes, we're taking it seriously. Pull up, roll up your sleeves, and help us take this stuff and put it in your basement.
So what we did is
we lined the trash can, the metal trash can, with a trash bag, and we put the rice. You know, this is just the beginning. I mean, we didn't at all fill it up, but we did take the ready rice. This is rice for her on her level that she can just tear and cook and eat. And we put that in there, and we had the water, and we had a couple of cases of string beans, some canned peas, and that was some visual stuff for them. And we put it down in their basement, and we let them know, this is your 101 prep course, and we're serious, because you are the parents of our grandchildren, and we're not in town. This is what we have set aside for you. And she said, "Really, Mom?" I said, "Yeah, guess what? I used that $150 you gave me. This is $150, you know, this is $150 worth of stuff."
Sister
now,
Davis.
When we left, she just had that puzzled look in her face. But that is helping us get them on board that we're not playing. We're not playing. I'm sorry, I think there was a question.
There was Scotty. Wanted to ask you a question, Sister Davis.
Hey, Sister Davis and Brother Davis. My question is, hey, what was the name of the consignment shop that you talked about earlier?
For the children's clothes, it's called Once Upon a Child.
See, there's one here in North Carolina, and I asked my daughter about that. Because, see, I'm trying to get this trailer. I used to live in it. Now we're just using it for storage, and I want to convert it to the media center, right? So I'm trying to tell everybody, we got, like y'all saying, downsize. I got to get all this stuff out the trailer. I mean, it's like rooms or nothing but clothes that my daughter, who is she's addicted to going to the thrift stores, and she was getting them Jordans and the top-notch stuff that hardly looks like it hasn't even been worn. And she has all these clothes. So she took it there. She told me she had, like, and she's one of those that take real good care of her child's clothes. So she took 24 pieces, 24 items to that same place here in North Carolina. She said the woman gonna only offer her $24 for 24 pieces. Like, and so she said she knew that woman was trying to cheat her. So she kept the clothes. And so, like, I was just telling her, relaying to her your story, you know, about making money and trying to, you know, also nudge them to clean out this trailer. And so I just thought that was something I should bring up, that also we should know the value of these things, because people will try to cheat us. And my daughter said that what the consignment stores is doing now is going to thrift stores and what have you themselves. And so I was like, well, if you beat them there and you get the good stuff, then, you know, you can still sell it to them. But I told her, since you know that we live in an area where there are people who practice racism, they racist suspects, so just sell it yourself. Like, you put a bag of clothes, it was only 5 items of some clothes. She put it on Facebook, and this white lady that lived in this area came to the door and picked up the bag of clothes for $20. So that's
right.
Just something to be careful of, people
right,
cheating.
Scotty, the consignment shops back in, now, my grandson just turned 6, so he sold that stuff about 6 years ago, and she got top dollar because the consignment shops had just kind of filtered through, and they were just kind of up and running. But yes, they are being saturated because a lot of people are starting to take notice with these consignment shops, but there are other in your area, just kind of Google consignment shops. there are some that are not so popular in the area that are not called Once Upon a Child. But yes, you are right. They are sometimes filtering and picking and choosing what's important now because they can.
And another thing is, she's going to get more for her stuff if she sells it herself. When you go to a consignment shop, they're looking to get a markup. But if she would go to like a flea market, where she's going to sit out there, have her stuff on the table, she is openly negotiating with the purchaser then. That changes the dynamic. See, when you go to the consignment shop, now understand what I'm saying, that's a business. So therefore, their price is to get the best price. They know they're going to sell it for more. But if she went to, say, a flea market or a swap meet, set her stuff out there on the table where she can literally converse with the purchaser, that makes all the difference in the world. That's something you want to keep in mind also.
Yeah, because...
Hey, can I add something real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Brother David, Sister David said, I have a semi-consignment shop. This is what I do. And this may help other folks. If I know I'm going to go out, Daph and I, wife and I, and some friends, we're going to go out, you know what I'll do? I'll go get something new to wear. Keep the tag on it, don't mess it up, and take it back after I wear it. That's my semi-consignment shop, because I don't spend for nothing. So just so y'all know, that's what I do. So don't mess up what you get and take it back. And I only buy from places that will take it back, no questions asked. So just wanted to throw that in.
Yes, you're right, brother. We've done that too. We have done that too. We have, you were right. We have done that too. You just keep it clean. Don't put a lot of perfumes on it or cologne on it, because if they smell anything, that's like a heads up. But yes, yeah, you were right. Keep the receipt. And many times I keep receipts from Walmart, because I'll take something back. I'm not saying I'm going to use it and it's a scam or anything, but I have taken things that I knew when I bought it, I was going to use it and take it back. I knew I was going to do that. So, and I like to keep my receipt, because then I get full value for it. But yes, but that's what we're saying right now. While this window of time is open, we need to, in our mind, for real, start downsizing. Because in the future, this stuff ain't going to be worth nothing, because everything's going to be saturated with it, because everybody's trying to get rid of it. Once this war and all this election, when all this stuff goes full circle, people are going to start realizing that they need to downsize, they need to, get on board, they need to, understand what's going on. Us, the Tando family, are already ahead of the game, because once it gets saturated, just like those consignment shops, the values are going to go down. So it's important to start doing it now. What I've done, and I think I mentioned it last year, because we travel all to different Walmarts and stuff, at the end of last year, I went to a Walmart that had a lot of shoes and boots and stuff on clearance for $2 and $3. I bought about $60 worth of kid boots and kid shoes at the end. It was in the spring. Like in March and April. And then I took that to the consignment shop. No, first I took it to the family and let them pick which ones fit or whatever, because I just got random sizes. And I let everybody pick what they wanted. And then I took all the rest of the shoes to the consignment shop. The one lady acted like she wasn't going to give me that much for it. And then that was at the Once Upon a Child. So I went to the competition. She saw all that brand new stuff with the tag still on it. She gave me top dollar. So it takes a little bit. You got to, take it to one place and take it to another. But I'm famous for buying stuff on clearance that's brand new, because in the spring, pretty much all the Walmarts and most stores, chain stores all over the country, get the same thing, no matter if it's Texas where it's real warm or New York where the seasons change. They get pretty much the same thing. But, of course, in Texas, when they get those heavy coats, because they do wear coats, believe me, in Dallas, Texas, they wear a coat only for a couple of weeks, but they will wear a coat. But that stuff will go on clearance. I'll purchase that stuff And in the Northeast, where it's still cold, the value is high. So I take that stuff across the country and sell it on the other side. Or if you have family members that you could, you know, they live in Texas, you get the stuff real cheap. You know, Dave, you get the stuff real cheap, and you got family in New Jersey, because I know you got family in New Jersey, because you say you're from New Jersey.
That's right.
And then give it to them, or sell it to them, or tell them, you know, you could just sell it to them. They got kids size, or they wear size 8 to 12. Hey, I got this coat here, size 8 to 12. It's worth this amount of stuff, this amount of money, and sell it to them. I mean, you have to kind of be your own store right now while there's value. Another valuable store for kids that they like is GameStop, because that's where they can sell their games, their Nintendo games and PlayStation games. They can sell them back to GameStop, get a coupon or whatever, buy something else, or they'll give them a cash value, and you can do that if it's in good condition. So I even tell, when I go to a baby shower, one of the things I tell the mother-to-be is, keep this stuff in good condition, because girl, you know, hey girl, you can sell this stuff at the end when, you know, your baby outgrows it. You can, you know, I set her up before she even has the baby to start thinking about what she's doing, especially with those strollers that are really expensive. You know, there's the car seat and the stroller and everything. All these young girls want all that. You know, I think it's $400 or $500 now, and they barely use them. So I tell them, keep the box, keep everything nice. And when, you know, you outgrow it, you can really sell that stuff at those consignment shops.
Okay. I call them the baby SUVs.
Yes.
One second, Brother Davis. No, not right now. You're clear.
Okay.
But I know last week you all were talking about, I think there was a phone call that a gentleman was saying that a lot of these young kids aren't, you know, they don't know how to do any type of handiwork or carpentry or anything like that. And that's true. I was listening to the show, and that is difficult when that age group, I guess they're kind of like the 15 to 20 year olds. You know, they've had everything kind of given to them, and they don't know how to swing a hammer, or they don't know how to, you know.
You got
to
call in Q.
Oh, okay. I'll take the caller. I'll get back to what I was saying.
I'll remind you. Welcome, caller, to the Shando Radio Show. You're live on with. Oh, you know what? Hold on. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Hold on, caller, real quickly. When we come out of the commercial break, we'll come right back to you, caller. 281. We're going to come right back to you. So you listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Man. Everybody go get them.
Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And we're live on Wise Wednesday with Team Davis, and we have a caller in queue. Let's go to the caller. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment? 281. Give Doc a second. You there? 281? Okay.
Maybe they'll call back. But what I just wanted to relay is that from time to time, that age group between 15 and 20, I know there some of these young men, they're kind of, a lot of things been given to them, and they're not really, like I said, used to, you know, building or wanting to.
You have another caller too, Sister Davis, just so you know.
Okay, I'll take the call.
Okay. Welcome, caller, to the Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment for Brother or Sister Davis?
It's still L.A. Ramon, Dave.
Okay.
I realized that Mrs. Davis has obviously heard a couple of things I said. One about pulling metal out of TVs, and this lady comment about young men not wanting or can't, you know, they don't have basic fundamentals of measuring and mathematics just all together. And I'd like to definitely hear you enlarge on it, because here's my take on it. And I've had to tell some young guys before that, hey man, I don't know how you could ask me to trust you to go to battle with me, you know, or war, when you can't even pick up, you can't even work a full day, you know, and they always want something right away. And then the thing I find out working for myself as a builder is that they see me collect a check and they think they should get paid right away or at the rate I get paid. So we got some real confusion going on with what these children expect today. Even my own children who've seen me build our house from the ground up don't understand this concept. And I've actually cut some of them off because they wouldn't even come help me, you know. So I just told them, hey, you know, you can't come lay your head here if you didn't want to help, you know, drag out some drywall or, you know, some trash or paint a wall, you know. So I just told them. But here's the problem. It always never fails. My wife goes to bat, tells me I'm inhumane. This is not humanitarian. You don't shun family. You got to give everybody a chance. And I'm like, man, I didn't hire more people. You know, I'm like, I know I am a promoter of black employment, you know. And I'm like, I can't get even grown men, if you want to know the truth. I found a lot of them my age can't even do basic construction work or even just anything, you know, hang a picture. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the truth. And I'll let you respond.
Brother, you know what? I know exactly what you're talking about. You're getting close to home. But when I took, when my wife and I took that food over to my daughter's house, my son-in-law he didn't have a clue. You understand what I'm saying? The sad part about it is they don't see that as a disadvantage. You know why? Because they're programmed not to run their own lives. They're programmed that everybody will help you. And they fail to realize that if you don't help yourself, nothing gets done. So believe me, I understand exactly what you're talking about. But it is our responsibility to be able to show those who want to learn. Because, you know, there's always somebody you least expect will knock on that door and say, you know, I see you do this. I don't know how to do it. But sometimes those are few and far between. I tell these young guys all the time, how are you going to take care of a family? You need to drive a truck. A lot of them was like, what do you mean you need to drive a truck? Well, I was doing this here when my wife's brother was young. And his friends would get in the truck, and I would go places I had to unload, and I'd pay him a few dollars and they'd unload. Well, out of them five friends, three of them became truck owners. Three of them built very good quality lifestyles for themselves. One lives in Jacksonville right now. One lived in Pennsylvania. Another lived in New Jersey. But they literally understood what I was saying. Now, the other two, he's kind of sickly. And then the other one is just, he lives off his dad. I mean, anytime he needs, he goes to his dad.
Brother
and
Davis.
The bad part about it is that those parents, they supply that need without putting those children to work. So therefore, they'll be there anytime they need something, they run to their parents. I'm not like that. That's why after my wife told you that if my children borrow something off me, I insist they pay it back just because of the integrity of the action. But I may turn around and take that money and do exactly what she said. And the reason being is because It's not that I need it as much as I want you to understand the purpose behind what we do. Now, that's from a man's perspective. Would you like to add to that, darling?
Yeah, and what I do now, you almost, unfortunately, you got to kind of almost write off a certain amount of family, friends, and age groups. But what I've done with the younger young men is I take them to Home Depot because, brother, I love to. I've never built a house from scratch or nothing like that, but I love the smell of sawdust, and I could stand beside anybody and learn because I've done, you know, I'll get down and dirty in a minute. It don't even matter. I love doing that kind of stuff. But I take the kids down to the Home Depot once a month and have, well, not so much because we're driving.
You got two callers in queue, Sister Davis, just so you know.
I would take those young kids down there, and they always make a construction project at Home Depot. The one Saturday of a month, they you come in and all the pieces are laid out, and either you glue it or you hammer it. So I brother, I understand some of that age group that's teenagers, you got to write them off. But that young group that we can still mold, that's where our focus is. Because I know, brother, you got to write off some of them. You really do. But we'll go ahead and take those calls.
Oh, you got like three calls. Okay, got a couple. Let me, here we go. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and when is, what is your question or comment for Brother and Sister Davis?
Yes, peace, peace. This is Dr. Hawkins. How are you?
Doc Hawkins!
Hey!
Oh, man.
Now, you know, that's a voice of a friend. That's a voice of a friend. Go ahead.
Oh, man. You know what? I was listening to you guys, and I've been listening to the shows a lot, you know, working in the background and stuff, and it's been hectic the last month and a half. You know, I just want to offer a little inspiration, because here's what I've come across a lot lately, especially. And I've seen a lot of sisters, especially, rise above adversity. So I'll just say it like this. One of the biggest things that stifles our growth is listening to haters, you know, as they say. We're listening to those who will be stuck in the same spot 10 years from now. You know what I'm saying? And y'all are absolutely right. You got to get back to the basics, man. And I've seen this a lot. In fact, check this out. I talked to a sister earlier today, who's a Houston native. She just recently had a fundraiser here. I think it was on the 2nd of this month. And she was doing this fundraiser to benefit some people in an African village. And I won't put all the information out there, but to make a long story short, she, myself, and one of her colleagues, which is a doctor from Nigeria, were on a conference call earlier, and when I mentioned the fact that there is genocide going on in Africa and in African-American communities right now utilizing the water, this sister started laughing. I mean, she really thought it was funny. And at one point she said, oh, you're not going to scare me, are you, and say that, you know, they're going to, you know, they're out to kill me and all this kind of stuff. And thank goodness the doctor that was her colleague, who was under her in her organization, stepped up and he said, this really isn't a laughing matter. And he apologized for it. And, you know, so the brother and I at that point, we started basically ignoring her. And we started speaking about ways that we could actually save our people, because that's really what it's about. And, all right, man. Like, a lot of people can't even back flush their houses and get the biofilm out of their drinking water pipes and things of this nature. I mean, just the basic, like, a lot of the men can't do simple stuff around the house. You know, I mean, just pick up a hammer and fix a cabinet or something like that, you know. And same thing is going on with the ladies as well. So at some point, we're going to have to get back to basics. You know, we're going to have to get back to basics. And I hope that eventually we can wake enough people up by speaking truth to power and affect a real change. Because I'm telling you, those folks, it don't seem like it, but believe me, they are afraid. And when I tell you they are afraid, they are very afraid of us waking up. Let's simply take our power back.
Well said, Doc. Right, well said. Well said. Hey, we got two other callers. Doc, when you can, stay in contact. We got two other callers in queue. Let's go to them because I'm filling up here. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show with Brother and Sister Davis. What's your question or comment? 702.
Hello, thank you. Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is, I really have been wanting to start like a garden so that way, because I've been listening to the show for a while or for a few weeks now, so that way I could, if there's something happening, I've been trying to explain to my family and friends that, you know, something could happen and we should try to start preparing, but it's falling on deaf ears. But at least for me, I have a main concern, especially with how Dave has been talking about, like, the main shipping company in China is going out of business, and I know that could also translate to us. And if we don't get any food in our stores, then we're all going to starve. So what would be the best way to start a garden? Now, mind you, I'm actually in Ohio, so it's starting to get cold. So would you, like, recommend it? Would it for me to start it like indoors, or is it too late now, or that's what I'm wondering.
My suggestion, how are you with growing plants and stuff? Do you have an idea of how things grow? You know, you have house plants and things, or you have no knowledge?
Well, my grandma, I got a lot of my knowledge cooking and all types of stuff with my grandma, and so she has had house plants, so I do basically know that they do need of course, like water and like
okay.
Sun, and then she also sometimes she'll have like plant food.
Right. I just kind of wanted to see exactly where I needed to start. Okay, so you have some basic knowledge. I would suggest if there's anything that you have that's growing outside now that you can bring in, maybe some herbs, because right now, like, you might have still some peppermint or spearmint that's growing kind of wild out there in the yard. If you have that, you can bring that in, and you can continue growing that in your windowsill, and you can always do the cut-off, like, the pineapple and get that kind, you know, just, you're not going to actually grow a pineapple in your windowsill, but that concept of have it be in water, you see the roots and then you plant it, you know, it's just that type of concept. But you can always start with seeds. You can always do seeds at any time as long as you have enough light, fluorescent light or natural light in your house. You could do seeds now. And let's see. I mean, it's you have to keep everything nice and warm because you might get some coolness from your window and stuff. But you can do seeds now, and that'll grow into the spring. And then in the spring, you can then plant them in your garden or plant them in bigger containers. But you could still harvest some of that stuff that's outside. Like, for example, we're in Pennsylvania, and my dad grows a lot of he has some stuff that's growing. And he could bring his peppers in. He has peppers that are still growing. He had cucumbers. You can't really bring them in, but you could bring the peppers in. He has a lot of mint and a lot of herbs, chives, things like that. You can dig that up and put those in pots and put those in. You might even be able to do a tomato plant. If you have a tomato plant that's still growing, try it. Bring it in. If it dies, it dies. But you can bring that in, and if you can keep it warm enough and in a sunny enough window that's already been growing outside, it could flourish inside. It's a little difficult to start off with seeds right now unless you're really going to be working with them and really, you know, focused on them. But you can always go to Home Depot and places like that and get little hot houses, you know, little greenhouses that sit on your counter. You can get, or you can make some, go into the DIY YouTube University, and you can see if there's any portable greenhouses that you can make in your home, and you can kind of get started with that. But yes, I would try it. If it dies, it dies, but I would sure try it. And then when people come in and see that, they're like, well, what are you doing? Hey, I'm growing fruit and I'm growing vegetables for my future, but especially herbs. You could pretty much bring your herbs in and continue that growth. Yes.
This is Brother Davis. Another thing you want to do is you want to document the sun's movement around your home. Why? Because that way you can catch the sun and use it to your advantage. Now, this might sound strange, so I'm going to put it out there because I've seen it done. But if your sun's removing its angle and it's not getting directly to the plants, well, a properly placed mirror, you can direct that reflection of the sun on your plants. But you literally have to document the movement of the sun. That's if you really want to be able to get as much of the natural light to the plant as possible. Because in most cases, people don't want to move it around unless you are have the ability to move it from where the sun's coming in to where the sun's going to come in, then that's a different scenario. But if not, you want to be able to use something to get as much of that light on the plant as possible. So keep
or
that in mind.
Excuse me just a moment. Brother Dave, you have another caller, and we got less than, what, about 4 or 5 minutes left.
I'm sorry, but thank you, and I definitely gave you some ideas.
But check at Home Depot; they do have fluorescent light bulbs that you can buy that will help with your plants. And Dave, go ahead, take the last caller. Thank you.
Hey guys, just to let you know, we got one up. Sorry, I got cut off. We got one other person, and we only have 3 minutes left because we got to end out early. So, last caller. Here we go. Welcome caller. Oops, welcome caller to Tando Radio Show. What's your question or comment? You have one minute.
Hey, yes. Everybody, this is Jada. You guys know me, everybody. Hi, Sister Davies. Hi, Brother Davies.
Yes. Hi. How you
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to contribute what Sister Davies was talking about with the young ladies not even knowing what to do, common basic things. Long story short, sewing. Getting a sewing kit, learning how to, you know, sew clothes, learning how to even, like I was even talking to my sister, long story short, you can go on eBay, purchase rabbit pelts for $10 or maybe less to even learn how to make shoes instead of going and buying Uggs for $200. And then you could make your own soles, you know, so if things get bad, you know how to, you know, make your own shoes, you know, just basic things like that and learning how to cook. And thank you guys.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great. You know, but
I want to say thank you to the Davis team. I know we're running short on time. We'll have to do this again. Let me discuss it with my wife and come up with a date, and we'll get back with you. Thanks for everything, Dave. Scotty, I appreciate your time. This is the Davis team, and we are out.
Just a great call. Call back a little bit earlier. Everyone, call a little earlier. I know we like to hear. No, you're perfectly fine because you made some great, great points. I didn't want to rush you, okay, because the format has changed. We usually could go to the top of the hour, but we have to end out 10 minutes early so Scotty can reset it all. Just want to thank you all for listening. We're going to pick up the show again tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about some of the same things because we need to get prepared. Thank you all. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Much love and much respect. And before you ask for anything, make sure you give much away. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.